This podcast is sponsored by Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management, award-winning wealth managers who go above and beyond to support and guide you. Visit candowealth.com to start building your wealth with confidence.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, a Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. Well, today Matt Hancock has hit back at Dominic Cummings' allegations that were made in his 7.5-hour evidence session yesterday. Katie, has Hancock come out fighting against these claims?
Yes, he has come out fighting. We've also seen a bit from Boris Johnson too of the same vein, but that was only a pool clip. And when it came to Matt Hancock, he was speaking in the chamber and ultimately put in a strong defence of himself, though when pressed on very specific questions, such as, well, tell us exactly what happened with care homes, did not give as precise an answer, or perhaps he did give it. Another way of looking is he did give a precise answer, but I don't think it's what you could, you know, a blanket denial of those charges. And therefore, I think it was probably a fairly almost sympathetic audience for him because it was Tory MPs and they clearly felt as though there'd be an operation by the whips beforehand to shore him up, to ask, you know, helpful questions. And Labour MPs, on the other hand, did ask questions, but there were ultimately, lots of things. It wasn't really precise enough, I think, to really give him too much heat. And I think as Matt Hancock has to answer more questions, such as in today's press conference from journalists, he may come under a bit more pressure. But ultimately, it's quite clear that the Health Secretary's general line is that he did nothing wrong and ultimately he thinks that he should be in his job. And also, he's quite happy about what he did. It's not even an apologetic tone in anywhere.
Yeah, he came out with an amazing quote, which was that, "I have got up each morning and I have asked, what must I do to protect life?" Which I think actually, of all the ministers, you can probably imagine Matt Hancock saying that to himself in the mirror in the mornings. James, do you think it was an assured performance from him?
I think that, as Katie says, there's a long quote from Jack Straw that the safest place for a minister in a crisis is at the dispatch box of the House of Commons. And I think that you saw the truth of that again today, which is the conventions of a House means that MPs can't accuse other MPs of lying or of being liars. So that offered him a certain amount of protection given the nature of the terms in which Dominic Cummings had made his charge. And also, as you say, you know, the MPs on his own side were prepared to rally round him. I think he is under the most pressure of anyone after Dominic Cummings' performance. I also think in some ways, though, something we discussed yesterday, I think he is helped by the fact that Dominic Cummings said he should be fired 15 or 20 times. This might sound an odd point, I'm going to steal completely from Katie, yes, from yesterday. It might seem odd to say this, but I think if Dominic Cummings had said, there are two specific instances over which Matt Hancock should have been fired. One is care homes, one is a meeting in the cabinet room on this date when he assured us that the PPE supplies were in train and they weren't in train. That, I think, would make it much harder because that would come to the specifics. I think there's an interesting question now about what Mark Sedwill, who was then the cabinet secretary, is now left that job. I think it's widely believed that Dominic Cummings was not particularly keen to see him continue in that job. You know, does he say, whether as Dominic Cummings said, that he had lost faith in Matt Hancock's honesty or not? But I think, as Katie said, tonight's press conference will be more of a challenge for Matt Hancock. Matt Hancock has had a kind of an attitude before that the best way when you're in trouble is to do these press conferences and take, you know, every single question until you've bored your audience into submission. A kind of, not that there's too many references to West Wing and British politics, but I'm going to just use one more. The kind of Arnie Vinnick drop-dead press conference strategy. It'll be interesting to see if he feels confident enough to attempt that tonight or not.
Katie, Labour and it seems the Liberal Democrats have decided that the care homes angle is the one to pursue, with John Ashworth saying after this UQ that it was one of the serious issues that Matt Hancock dodged giving further details on, which was Dominic Cummings' claim that Matt Hancock told colleagues that routine testing of people leaving hospital and going into care homes was taking place when Dominic Cummings says that it wasn't. So is this going to run and run?
I think so, because also another tactic we're seeing from the government generally is to say, we're not answering specific charges, we're going to wait for the inquiry, and that's not going to be for some time. And therefore, I think this will run. And Matt Hancock, I think, is going to be drawn more to, you know, give specifics. But generally, until you get all these various players to put their accounts, and we may get Mark Sedwell before the Commons inquiry, so that could be an earlier one. But I think if the full inquiry is where everyone's going to give their on-oath evidence, I don't even going to have the comprehensive picture of everyone's version of events until we get there, which means it could rumble on. And then I also think, obviously, the very serious charges against Matt Hancock, that one is a very serious charge. But I don't get the sense at the moment that number 10 want to discipline him. They might want to, you know, not tie themselves too closely if they think there's going to be evidence that's going to come out. But, you know, lots of MPs seem to think it's actually a bit harder to move Matt Hancock right now. Maybe you can move him to a different role. But I think in terms of a, you know, cabinet reshuffle and so forth, because it means you're ultimately accepting much of Dominic Cummings' critique, and much of Dominic Cummings' critique is on the Prime Minister.
I think there's also another interesting question, which I feel faintly embarrassed to put in front of you, because you know much more about it than me as well, which is what the operational relationship between the NHS and the Secretary of State for Health. There is, I suspect, what one of the things that this will come down to is who is responsible for ensuring that patients were tested for COVID before being discharged from a hospital to a care home. In March 2020, was that the responsibility of the Secretary of State for Health or the responsibility of Simon Stevens as the head of the NHS? I think this is going to become a debate and a question. I think it's interesting in Scotland, for example, we know that people who tested positive for COVID were sent to care homes, but I think we are going to get into a debate about who was responsible for that question. And then again, I think on the PPE question, you know, there is a debate, you know, in the cabinet room, is Matt Hancock offering an assurance that he had been given by his department that everything was in order? And you can argue that, you know, a competent Secretary of State should drill down and find these things out. Or is his department saying, no, we don't have enough stock, and he is saying in the meeting, we do. So I think all of these layers of the onion are going to get unravelled. I think, as Katie said, I think number 10 would be very happy if all these debates were left to the public inquiry. But I think this is where things go, and I think this is one of the crucial questions here is, Dominic Cummings said that he would kind of produce evidence here to back up his claims. I think a lot turns now on this. It's quite interesting that you could tell yesterday that Jeremy Hunt and Greg Clark were uncomfortable with the charge without seeing the supporting evidence. And I thought it was interesting that Jeremy Hunt went out of his way today to say that he thought these charges were unproven until we see the evidence. But I also think that there is going to be an interesting debate about what responsibility at that point, I know that the setup is changing, what responsibility at that point the Secretary of State for Health had over NHS decisions. Who is it? Is it him or Simon Stevens? And I think that could become an interesting part of this debate.
So, Katie, in the Commons this morning, Matt Hancock did sound a little bit cool on the idea of the great unlocking being on the 21st of June.
Yes, and I think there is a danger in a way of overreading too much, though it's much fun for journalists everywhere, particularly those who don't have events very near the deadline, to speculate on this, because ultimately, I think it is good to point out that the government have said they're not going to say anything for certain until the 14th, so a week before, but yet it does feel at different points when they say they're not going to say anything until the 14th, there's different levels of optimism or pessimism in what is ultimately a very regular formulation of words. And I think today, Matt Hancock said it was too early to say. We had Boris Johnson in a pool clip saying that he didn't see anything in the data to suggest June 21st wouldn't go ahead, but, you know, they have to keep track of it and, you know, things may have to be delayed. And again, there wasn't really saying anything different, but obviously the fact that there's almost a suggestion that there could be a scenario where June 21st doesn't go ahead has meant everyone's talking about this again. I think it comes as Neil Ferguson, who tends to be a good bellwether for the mood in government because he's seeing all that data, I think, or what at least scientists are saying to the government, this morning said, you know, it hangs in the balance, it's too soon to say. So I think we're starting to see warnings from scientists, but James's column is very interesting in The Spectator this week because he makes the point that this is a similar scenario to previous ones we've been in. The Prime Minister determined to press ahead, scientists slowly coming out the woodwork to say, this is a dangerous move. But ultimately, there is something that has changed this time, which is Boris Johnson believes the vaccines means that he will win that argument. So I think we have to follow how things go. But also then you get to the question of what type of reopening is it on June 21st? Because there's lots of things that hang in the balance and, mitigating measures. You can get rid of all limits on social contact, but also having limits on numbers, but also having a 1 meter rule. And you can also have vaccine passports. So interestingly, Michael Gove made the point today when giving evidence to MPs that Israel has now ditched its plan for vaccine passports. And I think the implication from someone who were listening to what he was saying was that they look less of a goer now than they looked a few weeks ago for the UK.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, James. And thank you for listening.